So our next speaker is our friend, Janet Davis. Janet's worked with the Innovation Agency for a number of years now. And Janet's going to talk to us about how technology can help reduce emergency and unplanned admissions in respiratory. Janet's been the testbed program manager for the LCIA testbed during wave one and wave one and a half, and which was a really successful testbed in terms of using digital technologies with people of different age groups. We tested out different age groups, didn't we, to see how people would use technology. She's got a wealth of experience in the voluntary sector, the health sector, and the testbed reporter directly into NHS England. So looking forward to hearing what you've got to say, Janet.
So I was asked to answer the question, can technology help to reduce emergency and unplanned admissions and respiratory? Quite an easy question to answer, really not. We ran the testbed. We ran it with the Lancashire and Cumbria Innovation Alliance, and it came out of members of Lancaster University's Innovation Health Hub initially, and we sort of thought we wanted to look at, could we look at a combinatorial approach to technology and would that help us? And we had two models of care. We wanted to test in the two different vanguards. So we looked at a neighbourhood model and we looked at a multi-speciality care model as well. One was GP-led, one was community-led. And we split the cohorts in the first wave by risk stratification to, on admission to hospital. And then we ran it as business in as usual in wave 1.5 because we wanted to run it without the constraints of a formal evaluation. And we wanted to see what it looked like that way. So this is the organisations and collaborations that we worked with. Lancashire Care Foundation Trust, as it was then, was the lead organisation. And we ran with a number of testbed innovators, including Docabo, Speakset, as you see, you can see the list there, and some of the CCGs as well. The Innovation Agency were a partner throughout the testbed programme, and Lancaster University did our first wave evaluation programme. So what do the patients tell us after we've been going through these processes? Age was no barrier. We ran for over 55 to 96 years old, and our average age was 74. 82% of patients on the chronic obstructive pulmonary disease were able to manage their condition and to reduce the need to see a doctor or a nurse. And that was the same for wave one and wave 1.5. 70% of patients had improved confidence in managing their own health. And again, that was the same when we ran it in wave 1 and 1.5. 82% of patients felt more involved in their decision making. 13% felt the number of visits to hospital reduced as a result of using telehealth. What else did they tell us? Well, the patient said to us something that had to be mentioned was the videos. They loved the little videos that were within the care plans. And they really... In patient two, he didn't go out when it was windy. He just was too frightened to go out. He didn't know how to manage it. And by watching the videos, he decided that he got up the courage to know that he would be able to manage his condition and he could go out again. So I didn't feel like going into town. I didn't feel like going out of the house. But I said to my wife, right, we're going to town. We're going out and we're going to get some stuff today. So that did give him the confidence to do that. The app is stopping me going to the doctors. Do you think you'd have more appointments if you think you hadn't had the app? And he did. He said, yes, he thought he would keep going back because he would have left it too late again. So actually the app had helped him to take his to remind him when was the best time to take his rescue medication, and he felt that that was absolutely would help him. So he managed to manage his chest infection and get better without seeing a GP. Yes, he did. The increased knowledge and skills relating to COPD included the following: understanding when and how to correctly use inhalers and other medication, learning techniques and tips related to their well-being, knowing how to identify the early signs. This was all about us empowering the patients, or the technology empowering the patients. The technology doesn't do it for you, the technology enables. So it was an increased awareness of the patient's all general health and well-being, and I'll talk about the PAM scores in a little while. Understanding the importance of looking after yourself, not just about your condition, but actually looking after yourself in general. Knowing what questions to ask your health professional when you go, knowing how, you know, what actually it is you want to know and the right question. Becoming more motivated, for example, moving more. making better use of pulmonary rehab classes, as I say. Over 40% of our cohorts attended, and we referred a lot more to pulmonary rehab because of the test bed. What else did patients tell us? Help me to understand my numbers. Sometimes the simplest things are effective. Not everybody needs gold standard. Sometimes all they need is a thermometer and an SpO2. And this lady here, she kept her, once she knew her numbers, she kept her numbers on a little notepad here with a date so that she could see how she was doing every day. What did the staff say? Well, the test bed enabled staff to have more contacts and connections with the patients. And they really enjoyed that, and they welcomed the diversity of something new to the workday. Decisions about the combination of technologies to give a patient was a really good conversation that they really enjoyed. And it was about the individual's care needs and not the technology. So it hadn't to be technology-led, it had to be patient need-led, and they enjoyed that conversation. And patients and clinicians worked together to understand what the which technologies would work for them, because like we've said before, it is not one size fits all. We really do need to have a range of technologies for them. And many people engaged with and received better health care as a result of the test bed. There was some short-term increase in primary care, but actually it was proper use of primary care. It was people knowing that actually what their readings or what telling them was that they did need to see or seek some primary care help. But that was viewed by staff as a positive. What did the data tell us? Well, the average PAM score of the test bed population increased. So we know that each point increase in a PAM score correlates to a 2% decrease in hospitalisation and a 2% increase in medicine adherence. So we had a really good positive use of that. We pushed our PAM score, our PAM questionnaires through our doc at home, so they sat at home and did it, and actually pushing it through the technology, our outcomes were exactly the same as doing them face to face. So if a nurse or a clinician was sat doing the PAM intervention with them, scored exactly identically as to pushing them through the tablet and them doing themselves at home. The pre-intervention level of hospital admission was a reduction of 27%, and we were really delighted with that for our cohort, which was smaller than the Liverpool retrospective study, but it absolutely matched that over both cohorts, so we were absolutely delighted with that. So can technology help to reduce emergency and unplanned admissions in respiratory? The patient's view is yes. The staff involved in the test bed said yes, and the evidence said yes. And the recently published respective study from Liverpool also said yes. However, one size does not fit all. Patients benefit from personalised care and personalised care plans and interventions. So when you're setting, say you're doing the telehealth, it's really, really important that you set your patient's parameters. Otherwise, alerts start going off all over. The staff step back from it and go, oh, my God, I've got 5,000 alerts today and what have you. But that's not right. That's not meeting the needs of the patient or the staff. So the more that you can personalise the care plans and the interventions, the better it is for all. Giving patients a combinatorial approach, including really simplistic stuff, works well. Giving patients information in a variety of ways, including videos, increases their ability to be able to manage their long-term condition. The more information that you give to a patient in a way that they understand and the way that means something to them reaps you the benefits in the long term. Helping and empowering patients to know their numbers and know their symptoms, for them to get to know themselves, for them to be able to self-care. What are my healthy parameters? Understanding what to do when they stray outside the norm, and it can be something quite easy and quite simple for them to do, and probably will not need a medical intervention, which would include escalation to emergency admission if required. And the really, really important bit to this is the quality of the onboarding to any technology, whatever it is, has a direct impact on outcomes. The more time and the more energy and planning that you put into the onboarding, which includes working with your patients on how to onboard, then the impact and the impact and the outcomes, I promise you, will increase, and educate and empower the patient. So do I have the answer? No, I don't have the answer. But I'm always happy to share our experiences and learning, and you can contact me whenever you want to.
Thank you, Janet. And it's great to see, because we cover Cheshire, Mersey, South Cumbria and Lancashire, and it was great to make those links right across the region into Liverpool, and that the messages were fairly consistent. And I think the message about onboarding people, getting familiar with technology is really important.